I have two questions to put to ourselves to think about. Am I ready? And how am I ready? Am I ready? And how am I ready? Now, in the context of the readings today, what are we ready for? It's about the end, when Christ comes again. Are we ready? You know how many times people have asked me as a priest, so do you think this is the end of times? This is the end? The war in Ukraine, the war in Israel, this must be the end, right? There's been wars going on for ages. I don't know when the end is, but I do know I don't like it. But if it is the end, am I ready? Because one thing we know for certain about life, there is death and resurrection, but there is death. So I may not be here when the end times happen, when Christ comes again. I know, as Paul says, I'll be raised up when he does come. But if I know one thing, I'm going, one day I will die. Am I ready for that? It could be today. I'm driving home. I don't know. Am I ready? And how am I ready? So Jesus wants to help people understand being ready by telling this story, this parable about the bride and bridegroom. Now, we have to understand something about this parable. Remember, always it's a human experience that Jesus knew about, people knew about, and he takes this human experience and he does a twist to make a point about something much bigger. And here is the coming of the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom when he comes again. Okay? So, he tells this parable. Now, weddings were not like our weddings today. Our weddings today, I get an invitation, arrive on Saturday at this time, 2 o'clock, and then there's a reception following. Then it's done. Not for the bride and groom, but then it's done for us. Well, in that time of Jesus, the wedding was 3 or 4 days. It wasn't one evening and we're done. It was 3 to 4 days. And so the first part of the wedding was the groom would meet the bride's father and they would negotiate a dowry. Okay, how much is she worth? How much do I get rid of her? I mean, I'm willing to. But that part of the beginning of the wedding celebration. And as Jesus tells this parable, obviously, he's coming a little later than they thought. And that could happen. It could take longer. But then after the negotiation, then he takes the bride and brings the bride to his home. And that's where the 10 people are waiting. Now, it says virgins. Other translation says bridegrooms, bridemaids, which assuming we're all virgins, okay? So this translation, they're virgins. So there was a tradition, you always have 10 virgins, bridemaids, waiting for the bride and groom to show up, to continue, go into the house and have a huge celebration for 3 more days of celebrating. And this is where the twist happens. There were 5 who did not, were not prepared to wait. 5, they say, were wise, and 5 were foolish. That doesn't make sense, because in the time of Jesus, they would always be ready. The bride, the virgins would always be ready, waiting for the bridegroom to show up with the bride. You wouldn't have some people not ready. But Jesus is telling this parable to realize there are things about this much bigger than just a wedding, about the coming of the coming of Christ again, the fullness of the kingdom, that we have to be ready. We can't think just because I believe is not good enough. Is not good enough. This, even with the insight of the first reading from wisdom, is what to be wise means it's not good enough to say, well, I have some oil. It's not good enough. I have something. It's not good enough. But I want to focus on the wine, the oil. Because, you know, people oftentimes don't think about the oil. I mean, you have oil. Why do you have oil? Because you have a lamp. A lamp is a little piece of material that has a little wick. You light that lamp and people can see. We don't have those anymore. We have maybe candles, but it's totally different. Because it's a liquid, the oil for it. We have light switches. We have electricity. We have flashlights, but they didn't have all that. So he had to have enough oil for the oil lamp to see. So he had to be ready. He would always be ready. But here, and I love the image that they said, the foolish people said, well, give us some of your oil. We don't have enough. Now, if we take this parable literally, it doesn't make sense. They're not being Christian. They're not sharing the oil. But the oil isn't tangible. The oil is what we use to wait and prepare ourselves. The oil is the image of what our how we're building our loving relationship with God and God's people. I can't give that away. I can encourage people to do something, but I can't give what I have to someone. They have to be able to grow in that relationship, life relationship with God and God's people. It's something you have to do. I can't give it to someone. They have to do it. We baptize children, but eventually the child has to say, yes, it makes sense to me. They can't just do it. You have to grow in this relationship. That's the oil, growing in this relationship. And these five foolish people stopped growing. They thought it was good enough. I mean, they got there. That was good enough, but, you know, or close enough. And I remember hearing a phrase, close enough is only good in horseshoes. You're close enough. Just get there. Not in the life of Christ. So we can't say, well, I come to church once in a while. Isn't that good enough? You know, I believe in God. Isn't that good enough? I helped my neighbor once, you know, 10 years ago. Isn't that good enough? How are we growing in our relationship? It's never the end. It's like, I'm finished. Boy, I hit 80. Whew, I can give up. And I knew a priest once when I was working in Chicago. I went to work for this priest in this parish, and it wasn't Crozier, but a different priest. And he said, "No, why don't you do this, okay?" And then I would meet people after mass, and the pastor was never around. He said, "Well, when I was your age, I did that. I don't do that now." You know, well, someone needs to be anointed. Well, I don't do that now. You can do that. You know, I used to do that. I don't do that now. We have to grow in our relationship, always growing in that relationship. So I thought of myself, my own experience in life. I remember when my brother, my second oldest brother, Sylvan Jr., he went to Vietnam. And the sad part was he was happy to go because we were living in a place where he was the bouncer of our place we had on this lake. He hated being a bouncer, so he thought, "I'll go to Vietnam instead." Okay, but my mom and dad said when he left, "Every day we're praying for him. Every day we're praying for him." He was shot, injured, and luckily taken, I think, to Seoul first, and eventually to Japan. Of his injuries, and his whole platoon was wiped out a few days later. It's sad because everyone should be saved. All people should not be fighting. Why are we doing this? But my mom and dad were teaching us, first thing we do in a grown-up faith, we pray for one another. We pray for those who are in danger. We pray for them. And of course, Jesus says, even praying for our enemy, praying for them too. But I was being taught early on, pray. Prayer is so important. So we gather, and I remember I've told stories about going to the state hospital where, right across the field from our house, going there for Mass. And I remember thinking, I don't want to go to Mass at all. My mom knew some of us didn't want to go to Mass at all. So she goes, we'll go to the state hospital instead. Okay, I want to go to Mass now. Can we go to church? No, we'll go. Now we're going to go. You're going to go to Mass at the state hospital. But they're teaching us. We need people of prayer. We need people of thanksgiving. And I think about Thanksgiving. We're coming up for Thanksgiving. But I remember in our family, because there were 16 of us children, and the four oldest went to boarding school. And because it's a boarding school, I've never heard about boarding school. Most often you get some international students who can't go home for holidays. They can't afford it. They just can't go home. So my brother said, can I bring some home with us? And I would think, oh, you know, where are they going to sit? And my mom would always say, of course, everyone's welcome at this table. Everyone's welcome. My mom was always teaching us, my mother and father teaching us, you always reach out to the least among us, always welcome those who are strangers, always welcome them and give thanks that we are all here together. This is the oil that we carry with us. And we can't say, I don't have enough now, I'm done. It's always growing and having this abundance of oil with us, this relationship we have with God, this relationship we have right here around the table of the Lord. It's growing in that relationship that moves us so we can do God's will. Jesus tells a story because he wants us to realize it's not about just having enough. It's having more than just enough. It's growing our relationship with him so that when he comes, we are ready. We are prepared ourselves. Now, the thing is, sometimes we don't know when the Lord will come. We don't know when our own end will come at times. But while we wait, are we waiting in using this oil, this relationship with God in our life? Are we waiting to be only concerned about ourselves or waiting concerned for God and others? That's the invitation for us. Are you ready? Now, I told one person once, I said, you know, I don't fear death. I fear dying, but I don't fear death. I don't like pain and suffering. But I know in hope that I will share in Christ. And as Paul says, one day, all those who have gone before us will rise first. That's our hope. So with that hope, let us be ready. Let's hold up the oil we have and live this oil, live this so that we are ready when the Lord comes. Whenever it comes, could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 100 years from now, but we're ready. So when he does come, when the horn is blown, as Paul says, we've already seen him. We've already been there with him. So we'll recognize him at all times. You know, last thing I want to say is, remember I told the story about the person from the state hospital coming to our house, and my mother saying, I'll go call the security, and you sit down with him. This is Jesus. Remember that story I told? Well, this is, after I told that story, a man came up to me after Mass, an older man, and said, you know, when I went to my first time going to Andre House, which is feeding the poor, the homeless here in Phoenix, and he goes, my first time, I'm ready, and they open the door, and here comes the people. And it was sort of almost frightening. Oh my gosh, what's all this? And he kept saying to himself, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. I think if we're growing in our faith constantly, we will see Jesus. So when he comes, whenever he comes again, the last time, we will say, of course, this is Jesus. And he'll recognize us. We won't have to say, well, I wasn't ready today. No, he will recognize us because we've been ready. Because we are ready.